maybe you don't want to say it live on X, but so have you indulged in the pot much in your life?
I've never been a big pot guy, man. I'll throw a few back, and by a few I mean many, but no, yeah. I've never been a big pot guy.
You know, what's interesting is I just started a new gig, and which is part of the reason why I'm so fucking exhausted. Like first day of the new gig, went to a house inspection today on what I hope will be the next house. Just a lot of new shit, you know, just a lot of, anyway, for this new job, I didn't even see it coming, but there's a drug test, you know? And so now I'm like drinking like a gallon of water every day. I'm like, you know, like trying to flush this shit out of my system, because in 2025, for some reason, marijuana is still considered something you don't want to have in your system, I guess.
It's interesting. So like it's legal, but like places still drug test for it. That's very
right. Like, and it's, I guess it's like state by state legal, but then there's a farm bill that makes it a gray area. And then
that's interesting. Anyway. That is interesting.
All right. I'm just going to get rolling.
Oh, sounds good, man.
We're here laying the points. Week 11, talking about the NFL. Ryan Reynolds is with me. Ryan, the Giants fired their coach. They're going to have a new quarterback playing this weekend. We've never seen Jameis Winston in a Giants uniform before. It's week 11, which means we're more than halfway through the season. I want to talk to you about Survivor on the show, because you are a contest and award specialist. Check him out at Establish the Run. If you know Ryan, you've seen him on my show, you've heard about him, you probably have read him at Establish the Run. You know, in my opinion, probably of the highest regard I hold you, Ryan, in your NFL opinions. So I'm really looking forward to talking about the contest with you, especially because this is a very interesting week. There's a lot going on in the world. I'll put it that way, Ryan. But here's how I want to start off this podcast. True or false? You can judge a Chinese food restaurant by its Chinese noodles. It's those, you know, those noodles that come in the bag and they're supposed to like go in the soup. Mm-hmm. We had Chinese tonight, and let me tell you something. And you're a pasta guy. So I don't know if you're a Chinese food guy. Yeah, I was talking to you the other night. Like a typical New Jerseyan. I don't know. Are you Italian, Ryan?
No.
You're not Italian.
It's regrettable. I actually wish I was Italian, but I'm not. I'm surrounded by Italians, though.
That's what every Jersey guy says, right? Like, you're not Italian, but you're kind of pseudo-Italian because you're surrounded by them. So, you know, I grew up with, like, pasta and pizza every week and this kind of stuff. But anyway, we had Chinese, and I was sorely disappointed tonight, because if the noodles are crispy and they're, you know, like deep fried, you know, you have a good Chinese restaurant. Everything else is good. If you don't have those fried, crispy Chinese noodles, it doesn't hit the same. True or false? Has that been your experience, or is that just me?
I'm going to say false, because I use fried rice as the barometer. And I'm just like cycling through the places that I like the most.
Yeah.
I've had one place where the noodles were meh and everything else was excellent. I don't think I've ever had a Chinese food place that I've gone back to where the fried rice was average or worse. And like Jersey guy, like I think of Hunan taste when I think of a Chinese food joint. So
yeah,
your theory would apply there. Everything there is crazy good though.
The fella Jake Circus, what's up, my man? Yeah. Well, I should preface that too by saying, you know, Ryan's still in the motherland. surrounded by great food. That's the one thing about Jersey, man. Like, you know, the bread, the bagels, the pasta. Great food. I'm in Maryland, and let me tell you something. Below the Mason-Dixon, it changes, and it's sparing out here. There's about one good pizza shop in every town, if you're lucky. Yeah. And I'm finding out there. I might be fresh out of great Chinese food places. It's like, you know, some have the noodles, some have it's not great. So there's a disparity here already in our opinions. And that's what we like when we have a podcast where we talk about opinions, which is, this is what we're doing, right? At the end of the day, no matter how you do it, you're predicting things here, and you're predicting sports and humans and blah, blah, blah. Let's get to it, Ryan, because we don't have any time to waste. Tomorrow night, the Jets and the Patriots. First of all, I want to talk about Survivor in this game, Ryan, because it's an obvious choice if you still have the Patriots. Want to get your thoughts, maybe contrarian thoughts on how that could go wrong in your opinion, if that's possible. The Patriots are 13-point favorites. The total here in this game is 43. It's in Foxborough. The Patriots have covered in, I believe, 6 of their last 7. I think it's 7 in a row win-wise now. I'm certainly impressed by this team. You and I are Mike Vrabel guys, so, you know, not surprised to see the improvement. But I got to say, I'm kind of surprised to see this level of improvement this quick. And part of me is, like, waiting for the shoe to drop, you know. But on the other hand, reading articles about this game leading into this show, leading into some articles I've been writing this week, and, you know, Vrabel's talking to the team, the locker room, about this being a letdown spot. You got to stay focused. I think he's a great leader. I think he's in a great role, obviously, in Foxborough. And it's tough for me. It's tough for me to see an avenue where the Jets are going to be able to hang in this game. If nothing else, even if the Patriots make some mental mistakes, the Jets in their lack of a pass game against good defenses, which they've, in my top 20 defenses, Ryan, the Jets have faced 4 so far this season, according to EPA metrics. Against those defenses, they're averaging about 170 yards per game. I mean, this is not an offense I can take seriously. The Patriots are a good defense. Do you think that the Jets can hang around here? And are the Patriots an obvious survivor play for you if they're available?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that concerns me is, like, the unwanted variable of it being on a short week. But, you know, again, like, you have the high-end coach with Vrabel. It's a home game. 12.5 is a number where, like, I usually don't know what to do with that. I don't know what that means, you know?
Yeah.
Like, 14.5, I know what that means. I know what 13.5 means. I know what just about everything means. But, like, 12.5 is like, okay, what's the purpose of 12.5? That said, you know, I can tell, you know, anyone that has read my stuff for a while, like, you asking me, like, what the path to failure is, like, we're obviously familiar with each other because that's something that I love. I think that the path to failure here was what the Jets did last week to Cleveland, where they had 2 special team touchdowns. Like, they're going to need stuff like that to come in here. That's very unlikely to happen 2 weeks in a row. I'm not ready to call the Patriots a good team. Good is the wrong word. The Patriots are a good team. The Patriots are going to win 10-plus games pretty much every year that Drake May doesn't get hurt for the foreseeable future. Coach, you know, quarterback combination. I just don't think they're going to beat Kansas City in a playoff game. I don't think they're there yet. You know, I don't think they're in that tier, but yeah, I would be pretty shocked if they lost to the Jets on Thursday.
I like that you said that because I think that's what separates, you know, not that we're twinning here. You know, Ryan and I are going to disagree about some things in this show, but I like what you said there as far as like that's your barometer. You know, you're thinking about when the Patriots get to the fucking playoffs and they face the Chiefs or they go up against Josh Allen again in like a revenge game. Yeah. Are they going to be that level of a team at that point? Yeah, sure, against the Jets, even against the Bucks on the road. Bucks are a little injured. You know, some things went their way. I don't think that was Drake May's best game last week. Hmm. But they're good enough, right? And they survived. But are they able to reach that level? I agree with you. I don't know if they're there yet, especially like year one with Vrabel. But it's certainly promising. I do think this is a great survivor spot if you have them. I've been looking at I got to admit, I heard this on Ross Tucker, Steve Fezzik. This is a great angle, I think, by Fezzik, and kind of stole that from him. In the first half, I like the Patriots to get off to a quick start. They average 15 points per game in the first half. Jets are around 8 points in the first half. And I just think at Foxborough, as well coached as they are, with the Jets probably feeling a little fat and sassy, I think the Patriots get off to a faster start, and I like them -7. So give me the Patriots early in this game. I don't know if I can go with the 13, Ryan, but if I have to pick a side, I'm still going to go with the Patriots at -13. If you had to pick a side, which side are you going with here?
I would take the Patriots too at gunpoint. I think this is their first primetime game in a while too. So like they've won what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. Like this is showcase spot. Yeah. I don't like it at 12.5. It's too much. I like the first half bet better too. Cause like I could see the Jets like being disgusting and, you know, losing by 17 points all game. And then the final being, you know, like 27-17.
Yeah. Yeah. When the Patriots finally let down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the Commanders and the Dolphins, the second Berlin game in a row. So this is not a home game for the Dolphins. Second start in a row now for Marcus Mariota. He started earlier in the season, obviously, for Jaden Daniels, but Can he beat? Well, I guess the market is starting to feel a little confident about the Dolphins, at least on a neutral field against a team like the Commanders, because they are the favorite. And I believe this is the first time that Miami is the favorite this season. Maybe earlier in the year if they had a soft matchup. I have to check that. But Miami kind of rising from the dead here a little bit. Mike McDaniel keeping his job for the time being. Tua playing better. This is a really tough one for me, man. I mean, you add the travel element, right? Overseas element. So there's no home field advantage. I guess it's a home field or supposed to be for the Dolphins. So there'll be like more like Dolphins, you know, insignias around the field. But that doesn't mean much. And both of these teams are sort of in this like limbo where are the Dolphins going to continue on this run? It's not very believable to me. They've had good circumstances, although I did like the way they played last week. If you're going to beat the Bills, stop the run and you know, make some splash plays. And Achan, I always say that guy's name wrong. He had a great game. Keep it on the ground for the Dolphins too. Don't put it all on Tua. I actually lean Dolphins here, Ryan, because I don't know what to expect from the Commanders anymore. Both of these teams kind of up in the air. You got anything as far as, you know, maybe like an edge in this game? Because I don't see it.
I wish, like, I can't, like, the guy who's been betting on sports my whole adult life says to me, like, this is the spot where the Commanders cover. Like, Miami just beat Buffalo 30-17. Like, this is, you know, they're going to come out flat this week. But, like, pure football-wise, like, how do I can't get to anywhere where I want to bet on the Commanders at all. So I too would lean Miami, but like I don't have any real interest in this at all, you know? So
yeah.
I'll take Miami -2.5. Don't feel very good about it.
Yeah. And just to be clear, so we're going to pick a side on every game on the show because that's a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys want information out there, official picks, official positions, check out Ryan at Establish the Run. Check me out on Substack for official plays, bets we're actually making. But we're going to pick a side on every single game here because it's good content and it's the right way. Like if we had to, right? If we had to, we're not. But in case you can't hear it and what Ryan just said, maybe don't bet the house on the Dolphins in Berlin. Okay, next game here. Man, already we're getting to this? I didn't think I was going to have to blow the lead this early, but... Here I am with my Giants hoodie. I just want to say this at first, Ryan. The reason why I wore this Giants hoodie is because I started laughing thinking about it, because if there's one Giants fan in the world who I think would probably never wears a Giants hoodie, even maybe when they're in the Super Bowl, like against the Patriots or something, but like I don't think you're the guy out there with like a Jeremy Shockey jersey in 2007. I just don't see it. I think, you know, you're an intellectual. You view the game a little differently. Am I wrong about that? I've never seen you in Giants apparel as a fan. I've never seen you in apparel once.
I have a good story about this. I used to, you know, split like partial season tickets with someone. Like I used to go 4+ times a year in my early 20s, late teens, where I wore a Jesse Armstead jersey until the numbers faded off.
That's a great
jersey. And while I was in Minnesota.
98, like, right?
Yes. And while I lived in Minnesota for 5 years, that was the last jersey I owned. When the number completely faded off, I gave it a Viking funeral. Like I put it on a raft and like, you know, they have so many lakes out there. I set that guy on fire and let it out there. They haven't given me a reason to buy a jersey since. You know, maybe we're going in a direction where I can do it again, but I have not worn a Giants jersey in, you know, probably 10 years. 10 years, probably. Yeah, yeah.
That sounds about right. A more mature version too, probably of you know yourself not needing to wear that jersey every day. Okay, so you know that being said, I haven't been rocking this jersey much lately the past few years, or this hoodie or any apparel the past few years either. Although, yeah, maybe once or twice at the bar this season, a little bit of excitement. Now, Packers visiting East Rutherford. Giants are +7. They've named Jameis Winston the starter, and this guy's already cracking everybody up, which obviously doesn't equate to his football performance. But I do think, and I want to talk more about the Giants because there's a little bit to talk about here. And shit, if there's a time to talk about the Giants, it's now. So we'll get to that in a second. But from where I'm sitting, and you know, suddenly I'm not a Matt LaFleur guy. I've always thought he was a good coach, but he's just always mad. He's like, I don't know. He's just like one of these like mad little small guys who's just like, it seems like he's trying to prove something. He's just not giving me the right vibes. I could see why him and Aaron Rodgers butted heads. That said, now he's kind of picking up the pieces, right? Because this team, who early in the season, the media is like Super Bowl, right? That this is a Super Bowl roster. They look fantastic. Micah Parsons is there. Now they're like, who are we, right? We just lost to the fucking Panthers. And the Eagles came and didn't play very well offensively and still won that game, did enough to win that game. Now we got to go to New Jersey, of all places, the pits of East Rutherford, New Jersey, and we got to face a quarterback who we haven't seen play with this team before. Like, we don't know what that's going to look like. So I just think it's a really tough spot. Like, would it surprise me if the Packers, who are objectively the better roster here, would that surprise me if they blew out the Giants in like retribution? I guess. But the Giants, that's not like a team you get up for. And I feel like in the building, the locker room, they have to be questioning themselves a little bit now. So I would only side with the Giants here, Ryan. I think this is another dangerous spot for the Packers, who now, you know, I like to look at the psychology of these things. How could they not be questioning themselves a little bit? They just lost to the Super Bowl champs and only put up 7 points at home. That's a spot where you should have done better after losing to the Panthers. And I don't care if it's the Super Bowl champs. And you know, you lost to the Panthers the week before. So I could only side with the Giants here, not being a homer, but that's a tough spot for the Packers. What do you got here, man?
Yeah, the Panthers game was ugly, like literally gruesome. The Packers offense in the game, like Carolina played well, you know, in that sense, but like Green Bay's offense, just that was an abysmal game. You know, obviously last Monday night was not exactly fun to watch either. I've never viewed the Packers as like a top tier contender. I viewed them as a second tier contender, like a team where, you know, if they get to the divisional round, that's a good season for them. That's how I view them.
Yep.
I view Jordan Love more as like, when you say a league average quarterback, I think people get the wrong impression of that. That's like 10 to 20. That's actually like, you're good if you're a league average quarterback, you know, a league average starter. I personally think like he's in that range. I know like Greg Olson, I think recently said he had him fifth, and like, that's like, dude, you know, hard pass on that for me. But here's what I'll say about this game. Green Bay, if their defense is healthy, I could see Jameis Winston throwing 3 interceptions, and I could see this defense carrying this team where they win like 24 to 10. You know, I could definitely see that. The one area here that gives me some concern about taking that stance, you know, solidly is Green Bay has some offensive line injuries. And if the Giants front four actually plays their potential, which they really have only done once this year against the Chargers beat up offensive line, that's their path to victory here. But I think I'm more interested in the under than anything.
Yeah, they played well against the Broncos for 3 quarters, and then
yeah,
I don't know about that 4th quarter.
Yeah,
but yeah, isn't that's one of the toughest things to be a Giants fan right now? Is it seems like every week we, especially if you're handicapping these games, you have to consider. So I guess not even if you're a Giants fan, you got to consider their front seven. You got to consider their defensive line and the talent, and then you don't know if it's going to amount to very much. And like, isn't part of that on Shane Bowen? I mean, can't we at this point say that schematically they're not doing much to create advantages here?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think the Bears game last week was a perfect example. You see Dennis Allen almost generating more pressure with a front that's like a third of the talent that the Giants have. And this guy all year, like, you know, 10 yard cushions on perimeter receivers. It's just, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised they fired Daboll before him.
Me too,
to be honest. So yes, I would put a lot on Bowen actually.
So let's segue into that. Giants get rid of Daboll, you know, I'm okay with it as far as you just can't see the same thing over and over again for 2-3 seasons, you know, ever since he won Coach of the Year, right? Ever since then, it's been the same story. Leading games, playing well in many games, and then they kind of foil at the end, or there's undisciplined things that happen. So I get it. You said something on Twitter recently, which I commented on because I loved it, as far as a coaching change goes and what would satisfy you or be interesting to you. Maybe you could just kind of expand on that, because this is a tough one for me. I agree with you. I don't think there's a lot out there.
Yeah, yeah, this is a bit, you know, there's no Mike Vrabel. Like, you know, again, like, you and I are not guys who are offended very often. I was offended when the Titans fired Mike Vrabel. You know, it's like, what, who are you going to get that's going to be better than him? So, no Mike Vrabel. There's no Ben Johnson this year. There's, you know, before I get into that, let me say this. I think firing Dable now is a little confusing. Now, like, Jackson Dart's going to play in three coaching environments in 2 years. That's a little odd to me. But I'm good with them moving on from him. I think if you bring in pissed off Bill Belichick in a revenge season, that's super interesting. Like, I think there's a good chance he's Joe Gibbs returns to Washington, you know, like where it flops. I think that's he's old. I get it. Like, but, you know, Tom Brady said early in his career that, you know, one of the biggest advantages he had is, you know, the greatest defensive mind ever taught him how to read defenses. I think there's value in Jackson Dart for that alone. So that would be super interesting to me. I think Dart would be a great fit in John Gruden's offense. You know, obviously, you know, off-field stuff, like, I'll be honest, I never really read what happened, you know? Like, I don't know. So I'm going to ignore that for this purpose. But he's been out of the saddle for a while, but he's also a maniac that gets up at 5 a.m. and watches film every day. So that's less of a problem for him than most people. Those two guys, if the Giants hire either of them, super interesting immediately. Gary Kubiak is the only offensive coordinator I can think of where, like, he'd be a good fit potentially. That would be interesting. That wouldn't bother me. They bring Spags back. I think that's okay. They bring Brian Flores in. Like, again, I think you want an offensive coach ideally, unless it's Belichick, you know, for your young quarterback. But like Mike McCarthy, Cliff Kingsbury, like I you know, you said this, that you like my metaphors, like beige Volvos. Those are like, they're not terrible decisions, but it's like, okay, like we have a beige Volvo now. Whereas, you know, it's, and then all the other guys, like the young defensive coordinators, I have no interest in any of that personally. Like, if we're going to hire a defensive coordinator to be the head coach, I want a guy who's been a head coach before and has been effective for 5 years at least. You know, I don't want one of the young guns.
And that's what we've been doing, right? With these beige Volvos. We're just kind of throwing darts too a little bit. No pun intended. Now, let me ask you lastly about this. I promise we'll move on from the Giants eventually here. Just one more about the Giants as I wear my hoodie and look like a total fanboy here. Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart. Where would you rate his ceiling? Like, who's his comp for you?
It's so weird, like, because, like, I feel like the media is already calling him a superstar, and that's just too much for me. Like, you listen to a telecast, and you're like, Josh Allen, Tom Brady. It's like, dude, like, what are you guys talking about? Like, he's been good. Like, I keep saying Jeff Garcia and Tony Romo, really good out of structure players, crafty guys, mobile guys that were. Tony Romo is probably like a top 50 quarterback of all time. So I definitely think he's good. He's better than I thought he was going to be. One of my followers mentioned Rich Gannon. Like, that makes sense to me too. Mm-hmm. Like, those are good players. And I think if you're going to get off the board like crazy comp, like, you know, it's not Brady. Brady was a pure pocket passer that couldn't move. Josh Allen's like a 6'5" moose that throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. Like, Dart's not like Josh Allen. A little bit like Joe Montana, you know? Like, again, I think that's super, super lofty. So, like, I don't think that's the reality. But I'm going to stick with Romo, especially since Dart really hasn't been great late in games. It's real early, so I don't want to, like, give anyone that moniker. But Romo's the guy I see the most of right now.
My thing is, if they went from, like, if this were the Packers and they went from Aaron Rodgers to Jackson Dart, there would be a level of excitement, perhaps, but it's almost like expectation at that point, right? Like, even Eli Manning, people are loving Eli now because of the Manning cast. And he's a funny guy and he can smoke Bud Lights, apparently. But people were mostly making fun of Eli and talking about his lack of a Hall of Fame credential when he was around. And even when the Giants were winning Super Bowls in the 80s, you know, Hostetler, Phil Sims, like, these aren't, you know, these aren't the models of a perfect quarterback necessarily. They were good for their era. So I think in Giants country and in a big market like New York, when we're so used to these, you know, mundane personalities, sure. And then here comes Jackson Dart, and he's got some swagger, and he's dancing in the end zone, and he's like, "Blah blah blah." Of course, you know. Oh, it's Josh Allen. You know, it's, you know, there's no end probably to the comms because it's exciting, but it's a little exaggerated because of the level of disparity, right? Between what, like, in a Giants uniform, you just haven't seen that. You know, you haven't seen a lot of moxie at the quarterback position. So, I think that's what it is. I think those are great comps. For me, I have to see more. You know, I have to see Jackson Dart with, I think, a coach that we know is going to be there for a little while and with a competent defense, right, that puts him in a better position in most games. Because let's face it, in the games, I will say about Jackson Dart, in the games where he's performed well, which are most games, he, you know, some, as you said, though, some turnovers, right, that certainly caused the Giants some of those games. But if the defense was holding up their side of the bargain, then how good is Jackson Dart in that offense, right? Or like how good are the numbers in the wins at that point?
Sure. Fair.
Okay. Giants rants over. So officially or unofficially, but our picks, we would both side with the Giants plus 7.
No, I would take Green Bay.
You would take Green Bay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Ryan's on Green Bay. I would take Ryan said he's placing $5,000 on Green Bay minus 7. Now that's not true. All right. Tampa at Buffalo. Bills are at home. Both of these teams off of a loss. Buffalo's 5.5-point favorites, which is, you know, it's kind of like the 13, 12.5. It's a dead number as far as key numbers go. It's like odds makers can't really make up their mind there. Yeah. Bucks still incurring some injuries. I actually have to check the updated injury report on the Bucks because I'm not sure if Bucky Irving is trending up or not. And that's a pretty big one. But again, from what I've seen, Ryan, if you want to disrupt the Bills' operation, slow them down in the run game, right? That's what helped the Patriots. That's what helped a lot of teams. Dolphins kind of figured that out in the second half of the first game and much of the game we saw last week. Tampa Bay is good against the run. That's been one of their hallmark attributes now for seasons on end. And Baker and the Bucks are coming off a loss too, and they're fired up about it, you know. And the thing about Baker that I love is he's one of those quarterbacks, love him or hate him. In Tampa, he gives your team a fighting chance, you know. He's for a guy that I think is probably like he's athletic compared to me, but compared to other quarterbacks and other athletes in the NFL, I don't know how athletic he is, you know. But he finds his way out of situations. He's exciting to watch. Should be a very entertaining game. I would side with Tampa here because right now, I mean, you want to take Buffalo because they're back at Orchard Park and the engine's running. You had some really interesting things to say about Buffalo and their roster and Josh Allen too. So maybe you can include that in what you're about to say. But the Bucs are one of those teams where you don't want to catch them in a situation for me where like Baker's fired up and there's enough veteran talent, especially on defense. You know, they got Bowles who other coaches still – respect and fear what he brings to the table. I think they're going to be able to limit Buffalo enough in this game and keep it close. I will go Bucks here, Ryan. What do you got?
Yeah, Bowles is one of those beige Volvo coaches. Like he's a solid. You know, he's a solid. Yeah. He's you're going to always wonder if you could do better. You know, when you put the wedding ring on their finger, but he's a solid. He's a solid. I'm also with you. I think 5.5 is a little high. I was surprised it was 5.5. Honestly, I thought it'd be like 4. So I'd lean Tampa there too. Injuries, my only concern, you know, that's, you know, I say this all the time, like I'd probably hit 65% of my bets if there are no injuries, you know, just diving into that stuff is exhausting. Buffalo, you know, I said before the season, like if Josh Allen missed the whole year, I think the Bills are the cursed Patriot Colts. Like, I don't think this is a very good roster. I think they have a good offensive line. I think they have, again, a beige Volvo coach. No, he's good leader of men strategist wise. Like he's not in that top tier, you know, at all. James Cook's a good player. Their pass catchers are, you know, my buddy Brad, who's a Bills fan, said, like, can we stop wasting a generational talent?
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's how I see it. I'll take Tampa and Frisky Baker Mayfield coming off a loss as well, plus 5.5.
Learning about how desperate it seemed the Bills were to get somebody before the trade deadline, right? They were going after Waddle, apparently. They were going after a few guys. That it says a lot. If you're Stephon Diggs, maybe you're feeling better about yourself a little bit and kind of got the better of those two situations. That's for sure, at least at this point. But talk to me a little bit because Ryan and I were texting back and forth. I was saying, I don't know where it started, but it became a little bit of like Mahomes versus Josh Allen. And obviously, you know, don't want to blow your lead here, but like, you know, Mahomes and his situation with Andy Reid and the talent that they mostly put around him most seasons, it's pretty ideal. So, you know, I would take Mahomes, like on like an average roster. Yeah. I would take Mahomes, and so many people probably fucking hate that I'm saying this, but I would take from a football IQ standpoint, just on the field and the way that he manages every play. I love his awareness. You know, like there are a few quarterbacks who I trust with the ball in their hands to make a great decision on virtually every play. Of course he makes mistakes. It's the NFL, but like the ball in his hands, I just know he's going to make most likely the best decision that he could with the ball. And he has Andy Reid behind him. That helps. Josh Allen, I can't say that. Now, Josh Allen hasn't had Andy Reid behind him, but as far as like pure physical attributes, give me Josh Allen every time. I mean, that dude is built to be the best quarterback in the NFL every season. I guess you already kind of spoke to it a little bit, but if Josh Allen is with the Chiefs, you think that's a entirely different situation
for him? Yeah, like I don't think anything changes really. Like I think they have the same background. They've won the same titles. They've lost the same titles.
Yeah.
I think they're very, very close. The one caveat being, you know, people always say like Ben McAdoo wanted Patrick Mahomes, where I would say like, thank God they didn't let that dude get his hands on Patrick Mahomes, because I don't think he'd be the same, you know, like Andy Reid helped develop them. He still would have been good, but like, I just don't think he's talented enough where like, maybe he still is like, you know, the Josh Allen character where he basically, like, I give no coaches real much credit with Josh Allen. Like he's a one man army. Like you could put him anywhere in their 10-man team, you know? And I think Mahomes is that too. Like I made a ton of money off cards with Mahomes, but part of the reason was the landing spot. Like the landing spot was just, you know,
yeah,
it was ideal. So it's hard to separate that, where like if Mahomes, you know, was drafted by a shit organization himself, like would he be carrying it like Josh Allen does? Probably close, at least.
Right.
But I think very, 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 very small lean Josh Allen for me between the two.
Can you explain to me how the card, like just in like 15 seconds, how does the card, how does making money in cards work? Like certain, like, are they like devalued for a moment in time and then that's where you buy them? Or, yeah.
You gotta, you know, I'm like a fake consensus guy where like I stand on my own island with stuff. Like I have money in Caleb Williams right now where, you know, I was buying the dip on him because I actually watch football and all that. But yeah, I mean, you know, how I saw Mahomes coming out of college was like, this dude's an out of structure wizard. He was a little bit, you know, volatile otherwise. And Andy Reid was the perfect marriage. It's like, dude, like the ceiling for this can be, you know, this dude wins titles and MVPs and, you know, it's been better than I was expecting. But yeah, like if you can buy the guy before he rises, there could be big money with quarterbacks and cards.
It's interesting. So it's a little stock markety.
It's very imperfect because like sometimes you can get a player who's really productive and no one cares.
Right.
Like that's the one. But like if you get a guy who's winning MVPs and titles, like, you know, like Colin Kaepernick's a dude I made a fortune on because the environment he was in, coach, roster in San Francisco, he was a backup. I was just loading, buying all the time. And then when they went to the Super Bowl, like I made like 50X on that dude.
Yeah. Wow. You know? That's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the company, the brand that he's kind of with, right? It's
yes, sometimes. Like yeah. I made like 5X on Brock Osweiler because of the environment he was in. Like I sold it immediately because I didn't think he was, you know, anything special. But yeah, there's, you know, I don't hit them all, but it's a very interesting thing to dabble in.
Brock Osweiler, who does a good job, by the way, calling college football. I heard him the other day, pretty good.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't look 6'8" in the booth, mm-hmm. but he does a good job. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to this. Just moved up actually. Now it's a little bit juiced, but Bengals are +6 at Bet Online. Going by Bet Online here. If you'd like to throw me some cash, Bet Online, go ahead and do it. Bet Online is +6 -114 at Pittsburgh this weekend. Pittsburgh obviously at home -6, totals 48.5. Gotta have a high total when the Bengals are involved, that's for sure. Just for a good comp, the Cincinnati Bengals allowed the Jets, who we talked about at the top of the show, to gain 500 yards on them a few weeks ago. The same Jets team the next week faced a good defense, a really good defense in the Browns. And the Browns defense isn't as good on the road historically. They've averaged 30 points allowed the last two seasons on the road. But against the Browns, they only mustered, I think it's like 160 or 176, something like that. So the Jets are not a good offense, but when you face the Bengals, you suddenly become a good offense.
Yeah.
I still want to side with the Bengals here, Ryan, because The Steelers, I know, back at home, Mike Tomlin, rah-rah Mike Tomlin spot. But at this point, if there's any offense that the Bengals could maybe figure out a little bit, like this Steelers operation for me, Ryan, when I watch them, no hate towards Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is, even now you see it, his arm talent is arguably the greatest the game has ever seen.
Yeah.
But, you know, at 41 and with a decent offensive line that's not always very good, and you see it exposed in some moments like last week, you know, not a big run game and one wide receiver who he wants to consistently go to. It's just not, I don't see how this Bengals defense, and they have a coordinator who came from Notre Dame and did a really good job, Golden, or, you know, I mean, this should be a situation where the Bengals can at least in an NFC, AFC North battle, keep it close. And now they have the hope of Joe Burrow coming back on Thanksgiving. I do like that for the organization. So again, and a lot of these handicaps, like, you know, just as a reminder to the audience out there, to the fucking touts out there, the Steelers might blow out the Bengals, okay? But I would still go with the Bengals in this match. I think it's too many points for a Steelers team that underwhelms consistently offensively and defensively for that, you know, in that sense, right? Defensively, week to week, they've really had one game, and it was the week prior that they really played well against the Chargers, not so much, but the week before that, off the top of my head, I forget who they even played, but they played fantastic. It's the Colts.
Yeah.
But that's the Steelers for you, right? So, Ryan, I don't trust the Steelers. I just don't. So give me Bengals plus six.
Yeah, I love your stance on this because, like, I literally considered everything you just said. And I also, the Joe Burrow wrinkle, like, is interesting because, like, I think Baltimore is going to win out or will lose one more game. So I think they're going to end up winning the division. But, you know, the Bengals season, like, internally isn't dead per se there. That said, like, I like Aaron Rodgers coming off a very bad game against a bad defense this week. I do agree that they really only have one weapon on offense, and, like, that makes them very easy to game plan for, where you basically need heroics from a 41-year-old man who's, you know, capable of them, but not. The thing that I'm going to lean into here, though, is, like, Pittsburgh's pass rush should, you know, usually when the Steelers play this team at home, their pass rush plays better. So I'm gonna bank on that a little bit. I'm actually going to go the Steelers direction on here. I'm very on the fence of it. Like, again, like, everything you said is, like, making me doubt my own stance. Cause this is one of the games is, like, I'm actually really looking forward to what Chris says here, because, like, I'm going to take Pittsburgh and I kind of hate it. And, like, everything you pointed out is exactly why I hate it. So again, I'm going to lean Pittsburgh. I'm not putting $5,000 on it though.
Could be, but it does sound like one of those, you got to hate your money to win sort of situations too. So I get that perspective as well. All right, let's move it along here. Texans and Titans. This is my thesis, Dane. I'll just leave you with this, Ryan, because I know famously to start the season, you like the Titans. You thought they could be a little feisty. That hasn't. That might be your worst take.
Yeah, that's you have. They have not been feisty. That's for sure.
Yeah, you mean, you know, mostly great takes, but maybe that one. So far it hasn't. But if there's a game off a bye,
yeah.
Against the Texans team who clearly, like, I'll be honest with you, even rewatching that game, the Texans and the Jaguars, it's like, I can't take the Jaguars seriously. Like, this is just as much about the Jaguars and how much they let down as it is the Texans not giving up, and kudos to them. Yeah. But the Texans are not a team that can be trusted with a 6.5-point road favorite chalk. Yeah. So I would side with the Titans here. And I do think, I don't know how many Circus Survivor contestants are watching this show. Probably not many, but if you're taking the Texans this week, I would red flag this one. I think this is one of those games where the Titans and the AFC South could win straight up. Like, I'm going to try and avoid the Texans this week.
Yeah, agreed. I really have nothing to add. Like, I feel like, because Tennessee is a team that's going to be targeted virtually every week, and they're going to ruin at least one slate, maybe two. This is, you know, one that I'd definitely be concerned about. The one caveat I have is Houston's pass rush could potentially win this game, but again, like, you know, I've been betting on football my whole life. I looked at this immediately. It's like, all right, it's Titans. You know, I think it was +7 when I first looked at it or pass. So it's still Titans +6.5 for pass, but, like, they've just been so bad.
Yep.
So, but like Cam Ward's actually shown some things, but like if you look at his wide receiver group, like I'm a sicko that's watched, you know, too much football in the last decade. I've finally started to, like, you know, not watch every game this year. There's dudes on their starting lineup that I didn't know who they were, you know? Yeah. Like, so that's my one concern. Like, they are bad enough where, like, they still could. But, yes, it's ultimately Titans are pass for me.
See, there are players on, like, New England's starting offense on their offensive line who I didn't know starting the season either. But that might be a difference in coaching too, right? Like, suddenly we're seeing some of the best brought out in some of those players. Real quick, Cam Ward, what from the start of the season and what you projected and thought could be the case to now, what are your thoughts on the direction of his career?
Well, there's two things. Like, I thought Brian Callahan was a bad hire 2 years ago. So, like, that not working out doesn't surprise me. I'm surprised Tennessee's offensive line hasn't been better. Like, they have, like, a first-round pick at left tackle, a first-round pick at left guard. They just signed, you know, like, a veteran. Like, they should have, like, you know, a top, like, 15-ish offensive line easy, and they haven't. So that's something where I think they should hire Greg Roman in the offseason. Greg Roman got a lot out of Colin Kaepernick. He got Lamar Jackson's career going. He's done well with the Chargers. He's a veteran presence. Like, I think that's what they should do. And I think he could be fine, but I think the coach is going to matter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how he progresses, because you do see the talent. And then there's also a few plays every game where you're like, what? Like, he just loses the ball. You know, I don't know if it's just young kid nerves. That might be the case.
Yeah. Some of it's bad environment. Some of it's too, like, he was always like a talented, volatile guy. So, like, that's part of the bag with him. But, like, again, it's just been such a bad environment.
It's 10:14 p.m. on the East Coast. Ryan Reynolds is here with me. Check him out at Ryan Reynolds. Check him out at Establish the Run. We're getting through the week 11 football slate. Let's move to the Bears and Vikings. Vikings are 3-point favorites at home. And I'll start by saying this, Ryan. This is a revenge game for the Bears. I mean, it has to be after blowing that week one game that they so obviously should have won. The J.J. McCarthy, I love on the Sports Gambling Podcast. Check that show out, folks, if you don't already. They're hilarious, and they're actually pretty fucking sharp, despite what you might think. It's not just jokes. I love how they make fun of J.J. McCarthy because the 9 personality, like, what are we doing here, Ryan? Like, we don't need to have alternate personalities. We can just be ourselves and be fired up. I like Kevin O'Connell, but maybe the exercise of how good he is with these quarterbacks is manifesting in a way that's a little cringy in this sense. I find myself wanting to bet against J.J. McCarthy, just like personal bias. Then again, I actually think this is a Viking spot, you know, that they're off a loss. They're at home. This is probably where Brian Flores is at his best, like shaking up Caleb Williams, who by all metrics, like Pro Football Focus, I believe rated him as the best quarterback last week, just in the way he creates, right? And accuracy and efficiency and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know quite how they get to those grades, but because some of it looks sloppy to me, but he's getting high grades. I still think the Vikings kind of have an edge here, Ryan. What say you on this one?
I mean, Chicago's real beat up. I think that would be ultimately what will determine my stance in this game. If the Bears, all their questionables, which is like, you know, their two top corners are going to be out. They're safe. Tyreek Stevenson and Brisker, TJ Edwards, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. If half of those dudes are out, I go the Vikings way. I'm with you on McCarthy. I didn't really like him coming out. The spot he's in is, you know, really like my only interest in him. I said this on Twitter recently. He's reminded me of like sloppy Jackson Dart. Like they have similar skill sets. Like McCarthy does not have a howitzer of an arm, but he's crafty. He's a good runner. He has not been as accurate as Dart by any stretch of the imagination. And he's in a better environment currently than Dart is. But, you know, I'm not willing to like sell him completely yet. Although the 9 thing, I agree is, you know, like I'll say this, like I'm like a generally good supportive guy, but like, in a sports setting, like I'm a fucking maniac myself. So like I never called myself something though, you know? You know what I mean? Like it's not. So yeah, for me, this game will depend on the injuries. I do agree with you. This does feel like a Viking spot. The Bears, I think, are like, you know, five of their last 6 games. But one caveat is I did have them splitting with Minnesota, so you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna lean Bears. It's gonna depend on their injuries though.
Yeah. A lot of injuries. Really good notes there about the injuries, which historically on these shows, I do not do a good job of. But you absolutely, at this point of the season, especially, you have to like find some resource that you trust to get a good handle on all the injuries. And maybe don't make some decisions, kind of like the NBA, unfortunately, which I hate to say that, but maybe don't pull the trigger on some of these plays until you know actually what's going on in that late Friday, early Saturday injury report. These next two games, so that Minnesota and Chicago game and this game, Carolina at Atlanta, Atlanta's 3.5-point favorites, totals 42.5. Talk about a revenge game for Atlanta, who got embarrassed in the beginning of the season, 30-0 at Carolina. I do want to ask you about Survivor in these two instances, Ryan, because something I like to do, something that has won me Survivor contests, we talked about this earlier in the season too, is when everyone else is looking at certain plays, just because I handicap these games and I see some edge that maybe others wouldn't even consider, I will take a pick that others want to consider, 1% own, something like that. And then I survive that week. Many others lose. So I want to ask you two questions here. Obviously, what are your thoughts on the Falcons-Panthers? And would you consider the Falcons or Vikings as Survivor picks this week, as like a contrarian Survivor pick?
Vikings, no. Atlanta, I would consider. I don't know if I'd lock them in, but I would consider. I think I'd stay away from Minnesota for that. Although I get where you're coming from. I do. If it's your last entry, yeah, that's a stones move with the way McCarthy's played. Atlanta, though, like Atlanta straight up has a better record, a better roster than Carolina. Oh, yeah. Like you said, like I don't think the revenge narrative applies to every time a team loses, but when you lose 30-0 to someone, you're gonna want to kick the shit out of them the next time. Like there's gonna be extra there. Like I'm with you on that. The one thing, like I hate that they're like, talk about like this, dude. Like I did not like the Raheem Morris hire. I don't think the Falcons are a very well-run organization. They had their bye in week 5. Then they play in Europe last week, and they're coming off that game.
Yeah.
Like, that I don't like. So, I do think Atlanta wins. I'm going to lean Panthers +3.5, though.
Yeah, I can only lean Panthers here, too. I think they at least show up. Because the thing I don't like about this game is Survivor, too. I had Atlanta underlined. Because this is – I believe this is the final – like the final chance that you could, well, I guess week 13 is an option too, but these are one of the final spots you could even realistically take the Falcons. That being said, the fact that Carolina lost last week and blew that spot where they were finally a favorite again, right? And they just cannot come to play in those situations. Like these are the spots to take Carolina where they're a feisty dog, and their defense has been formidable. Their run game has been formidable. Atlanta's run defense has been formidable, but really the second half of the season, or the second half of the first half of the season, Atlanta's defense has regressed. So, you know, it all to me for Carolina is like, is there a path for Bryce Young to not be overly involved in the game? Because I think that's how they lose games, you know, and it's not that Bryce Young is necessarily even a terrible quarterback, but it's who he has around him. It's the coaching. It's he is small. He just, you know, Atlanta's defense in some showings can be really good. So I'm on the fence about this one, but you give me a 3.5. I'll take the Panthers in this one as well.
Yeah.
Our Chargers, Jaguars, really, really weird one for me here. Yeah. You know, to me, the Chargers, Ryan, are like almost a different team every week. Now, a lot of that was because of Joe Alt and some of their injuries before. Like you saw a real difference in splits when Joe Alt was not on the field protecting Justin Herbert. And obviously there's probably something more to that, but he's very significant. One of the highest rated left tackles in the NFL. Obviously he's out now, but they played really well last week. I mean, they put the Steelers to bed and it wasn't close, but now they're back on the road. And this is a weird spot because Jacksonville's off a loss that they blew a huge lead. I believe Jacksonville was up like 20-0 last week. Like a crazy, they were way up in that game. To lose that game and now go back home, I would love to get your thoughts too on Liam Cohen, because like I like him, and then games like last week happened where like there's still plenty to figure out here for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, and also for their defense with Campanaro, and they also look good, and now they're regressing a little bit. So two teams here who they don't have that like archetype identity that I'm looking for at this point in the season that I can confidently bet on. I would go Jacksonville here at home +3 to keep it close. Would be my pick, but I'm not betting this game officially in no way. What say you?
Yeah, I hate this game too. I also would take Jacksonville begrudgingly. And, you know, I'm not directly betting it, but, you know, it's the offensive tackle thing. You can play effective offense with one bad offensive tackle. You cannot do it with two. It's a disaster. If Jacksonville's defense has one strength, it's that they actually have some athletes on their front. So I'll lean into that. To your Liam Cohen question, he's like the Derek Carr of coaches. Like, he's not a bad coach. He was a good coach for them. But, like, what's your ceiling going to be with this guy? You know? And that's, you know, a good season for Jacksonville is going to be, like, 9-10 wins. And, you know, maybe we'll see that a couple times over the next few years. Maybe Trevor Lawrence will continue to underwhelm. It seems like that's more likely to be the reality than not. But yeah, it's to go back to the Giants real quick. Like, Liam Cohen's exactly the kind of guy I don't want.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Yeah, it's exactly the kind of guy I don't want. Like, it's like when we talked about Michael Penix before the draft. It's like there's things I like about Michael Penix. I'd rather him be on a different team. You know,
right. Yeah.
Like, and you know, that's, I think Cohen's in the same range. That said, though, like I. Yeah, I hate this game. I really do. I truly, truly hate this game. But, like, regression on both sides favors Jacksonville. The front play for the Jaguars defense favors them. If Trevor Lawrence can put together a good performance, I think they can. I think they win this game, actually. So I'll lean Jaguars +3.
Yeah, and I will say about your Liam Cohen comment, it's interesting, too, because it's kind of based off of franchise, right? Like, Liam Cohen is more like Dave Canales, more like Kevin O'Connell, like they're kind of like player, you know, they're players, coaches, and that's for this incoming generation. I think that works better for most players, but that doesn't feel the same for the Giants. It doesn't feel that same way for the Packers. It wouldn't feel that same way for, you know, just a lot of those like old school teams who don't really appreciate coaches like that. The culture doesn't appreciate coaches. The Patriots, I feel like, are similar to that. You know, the Patriots don't want Liam Cohen up there in, you know, Foxborough. Right. So it's kind of about where you live and where you are. I don't know much about Jacksonville, but
nor I.
Yeah. So that, it's just going to be interesting to see the way that one pans out. All right. Seahawks at Rams. I'll give away a free play here. I gave this away to my clients. I like the over in this one. You know, it's in Los Angeles. The weather is bound to be good for offense. Matthew Stafford is playing at an extremely high level. It's well documented how well Sam Darnold is playing for the Seahawks. And, you know, if you are Kevin O'Connell, you must be like, oh, shit. Okay, well, you know, I didn't know if that was going to translate because I didn't think it would translate. You know, it's Mike McDonald, defensive coach. I didn't know how that was going to go. It's going pretty well so far. I do think regression is going to be do for the Seahawks sooner than later, and this is at LA, who I think are a Super Bowl contender. So I like that the market is taking a stance here. We got a solid -3 on the Rams. I'm surprised it's not going up a little bit. It is juiced, but I would go Rams here as far as against the spread. I do have the over in this game. The Rams to me are a more complete team, and for me it comes down to the veteran Super Bowl coach and quarterback. Which, you know, I think maybe I do, just to be fully transparent about my process, I could value that too highly in spots like this, right? Like, if this is the playoffs, Rams -3 all fucking day. Yeah. But week 11 in an NFL season, the Rams are coming off a good win against the 49ers where everything went well. Maybe it's not that simple, but I would still have to side with the Rams here. What do you got here? Do you agree with the total, first of all, going over, and who do you got for a side?
That the total, I don't really have a huge lean on. I think it's going to be right around where it's at. Like, I think, yeah, I don't really have a big lean on there. I also like the Rams. The Rams, you know, I think you make a great point about this being, if this was a playoff game, I would love the Rams.
Yeah.
That's a great, great point. Like, I would be, you know, that would be a max bet for me if this was a playoff game. But yeah, I like the Rams. It's one of my favorite games on the slate in that sense. Like you said, it's a little juice. So, you know, I'm a finance guy. I don't like betting on things that have been juiced a little bit, but that is, you know, I would be surprised if they lost to the Seahawks, like genuinely surprised. Stafford, I think Stafford, if the season ended today, I think Stafford's the MVP. You know, maybe I'm a little biased there too because I actually love Stafford, but,
yeah,
you know, both teams have good fronts. You know, as if both teams can – and I agree with you, like, Sam Darnold's been good. I'm surprised he's been this good with Seattle. I'm not surprised he's like, an effective NFL quarterback. I do think some regression's probably in store for them, so – I'm with you on the Rams.
Well, you and I also come from, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
Yeah, true.
You know, Aikman, like eras where we watch quarterbacks stand in the pocket and throw beautiful, beautiful passes. Like that is what Stafford does on a week-by-week basis. And not, I would say that's decreasing the amount of quarterbacks that do that naturally. You know, they're all kind of runners and they're creating and stuff. So the thing about Mahomes, he can do both. So can Josh Allen, though. So can Josh Allen. Yep. All right, 49ers and Cardinals. Cardinals are plus 2.5. I think they make a decent teaser leg in this situation. I like them going back home. I like Jacoby Brissett with the Cardinals, and they got embarrassed last week. They're hosting the 49ers. Total's 48.5. Man, the 49ers, Ryan, this is a season where I really wanted to play on them. I still think that they're a good team to play on in the – you know, back half of Survivor contests, not this week, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of good spots for them. But the Brock Purdy situation is really, really adds a wrinkle. Like when you're assessing the full season, right, and you have all this confidence and, probably a little overconfidence and how you're going to map out the entire season, you're not thinking about Mac Jones leading this team in the back half of the season, but he's played well for the most part, but you're also not thinking about a decimated defense. So you're just kind of waiting for the 49ers to lose you money or lose your survivor spot at some point. Yeah. They're still the favorite on the road. That's because they're a buttoned up organization and they still have some guys in there that can do stuff. But you know, this is an average team to me in many ways, especially with all their injuries. And I think that Cardinals went from below average to average because of Jacoby Brissett, who's a better quarterback for this team. So I like teasing Arizona. I also lean in their direction.
Yeah, this is, again, I hate this game again because it's like, for the sports better than me saw Arizona, and like you said, it moved to plus 2.5 on Bet Online, where it's still plus 3 on DraftKings. So like it makes sense that like the action's going like against Arizona. You know, like people are actually betting on Arizona. I agree the 49ers are an average team. I wish I played them in every Survivor entry against New Orleans in week 2 because they're going to be the team that, you know, I don't know if they're going to knock out all of my remaining Survivor entries, but they're going to knock out some at some point. I'm almost certain of that. They are well coached for sure. Their defense has been destroyed by injuries. Like I have no confidence in their defense at all because of that. And, you know, quarterback play is what it is. You know, you have, I'm not even sure if I'd rather have Brock Purdy than Mac Jones, which is the real conundrum currently. So, yeah, I'll lean Cardinals too.
Good point.
I think the teaser idea is a pretty solid one. I don't have a ton of conviction in this game, though.
Yeah, you know, looking at my Survivor board, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, I have to count Thanksgiving and Christmas too, but there's, you know, there's eight weeks left of the regular season. I think I had the 49ers in like 5 or 6 out of 8 as a possible choice. And now I have them in 3, you know, and that might be pushing it. Yeah. So the 49ers got more interesting from that perspective. I do think that this probably goes over too. You know, Arizona, nice weather, and the Cardinals need to pick themselves up after that performance. That was terrible. Ravens at Browns. Always a spot where I can take it's very hard to take the Ravens against the spread in this situation. We saw it last season. They lost straight up against the Browns. The Ravens are a little bit like the Giants for me in the sense that I have to watch them because they're on TV. I'm in the greater Baltimore area. And the Ravens every single week, even when they've won their last two games and on paper, again, like, they're at the top of power ratings for a good reason.
Yeah.
They're a Super Bowl contender for good reason, but I'm not impressed. Like I'm really not impressed by what I see on the field week to week. And maybe that's because my expectations are so high because I know what the roster should be able to do. maybe, you know, the allure of Lamar Jackson and how he creates. Lamar's also not running the ball as much, Ryan. He's not like the same creator that he used to be. It's almost like he's still trying to fit into the Todd Monken system, and it's a little uncomfortable for him. Maybe we start to see the Ravens for who they can truly be, but right now I don't see it. So I could only look at the Browns here, +7.5. I do think it could be a good idea to middle here. You can tease the Ravens and still take the Browns, and very, it's likely that you could win on both sides.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, normally I would always take Cleveland in this spot at home getting 7.5. It's just their quarterback, whose name I won't bother to remember because I'm not gonna need to know it in another 6 months. Is my one concern here. And that's the one reason I can't get to Cleveland. And it's, you know, again, like when you prepare for these kind of things, it's like, dude, like there's a few things where it's like, I absolutely hate, and I'm gonna say Baltimore, I hate it. But like, you know, I think Cleveland's gonna score like 6 to 10 points. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at. The thing is Baltimore might score 13. So that's I think if I like anything here, I like the under.
Well, that's it, right? If there's a game where Myles Garrett just like completely disrupts the entire game, this is the one. This is the one he does it. And kind of every year with the Ravens. Like I don't know historically the last 5 years, but I know he did it last year, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. That was hilarious about Dylan Gabriel, by the way, RIP already.
You know, it's not his fault. He shouldn't be playing starting multiple weeks in a row in the NFL yet. He shouldn't. It's not his fault.
Yeah, I do feel worse for Browns fans than I do for Giants fans, just because like the Joe Shane has done some good things at least, but the way the Browns organization is run is remarkably bad. I mean, it is something to behold.
Yeah.
All right, Chiefs at Broncos. I'm sure this is like CBS's game of the week or whatever. Tony Romo losing his voice in the second quarter. Again, a situation where I do this every single week with the Chiefs, it feels like, unless there's a spot where I'm like, oh, you know, the Chiefs have some retributive energy going on here. But at Denver, Sean Payton and the Broncos are going to really care about this, obviously. They don't give up in these games. They do legitimately have a top three defense. They play better. Like they play with their competition. You know, they play down to teams. They play up with teams. You know, we saw them not give up with Philly. And say, you know, as a Giants fan, I could say what I want about Philly. But Philly, they do have that championship vibe to them where they are going to do certain things that other teams can in a buttoned up way and clutch situations. And the Broncos, you know, they still won that game. So, I think the Broncos come to play in this one. I think Chiefs win and Broncos cover is how I'm looking at this game. You know, Chiefs coming off, they are coming off a bye, right? Yeah. So Andy Reid off a bye. I don't have to go through the records, but I'm sure most people know it's a really good record. It's good against the spread. I'm sure they come out great, but I am not, for the record, starting this season, I wasn't a Bo Nix guy, but I did believe in this Denver offense and this team as a whole. Now that we're 11 weeks in, I'm not a Bo Nix guy. This guy is as volatile as any quarterback in the NFL. He's kind of Brett Favre without the arm talent for me, which is like he's a fighter and he can put the ball in the right place when it's a good play. And he has good play designs, right, Ryan? Like he has good play designs from Sean Payton. But so there's an intangible where you're like, this guy's a dog. Like, but he's not very good at the end of the day, right? He's just not. And you can see that.
No. So. He's like Brett Favre. If Brett Favre sucked a little bit, like that's good, man. I like it.
Yeah, because he just kind of moves around like that. Anyway, over to you.
Yeah. Last year, I think Sean Payton got a lot of them. This year, there's been some games where like I kind of were surprised by their game plan. So my answer will still be yes, but like I'm not as like, you know, yes, Sean Payton's, you know, a difference maker as I was last year. I'm going to lean Chiefs here, even though like everything you said, again, it's the same thing as the Steelers-Bengals game. Like you know, the two sides on your shoulder. Like everything you said about Denver, I agree with. I considered already. It's Kansas City's coming off a bye and a loss. I think they're going to be a very well-oiled machine in this game. And I don't, at the end of the day, I just don't have a ton of confidence in Bo Nix. So I don't, I think it's going to be like they win by 4 points, 5 points. I think it's going to be close, but I'm going to take Kansas City minus 3.5, primarily because I love that dude. Brett Favre, Brett Favre kind of stinks. That's because like Nix has his moments. Like, you know, I was gonna say to you, like, he's a beige Volvo, but he's not kind of, because he is interesting in a degree. He's gritty. I liked him in college. Yeah, he's a league average starting quarterback, and like there's gonna be games where he's absolutely terrible, and that's just right. Gonna be part of who he is.
I hate his haircut. He looks like what's that game, Double Dragon or whatever, like, you know, oh, wow. Like the like G.I. Joe type of, yeah, hate
oh,
it.
Oh, wow, yeah. Double Dragon, wow. Turning the clock back.
Yeah, 90s. Yeah, but what the hell? I was going to say something else about him. Maybe it's the wine. Maybe the wine's getting to me, Ryan. But he's just one of these guys who, at the end of the day, anybody can throw a football. If you think about it, anybody can throw a fucking football, right? And you can make it. You can learn how to throw a spiral. Really strong, you know, but if he was with, and I'm not saying Sean Payton is Andy Reid, right? Or is like this like magical offensive guru.
He's in the tier below Reid. He's probably a Hall of Fame coach.
He is. He's not elite, but yeah. He's very good, right? Yeah. But you put Bo Nix in a different situation, and I think he is very quickly exposed.
Yeah.
Well, agreed. Certainly, Ryan and I agree on that one.
Yes, agreed wholeheartedly.
Yeah. For the record, we have disagreed, I think, on two or three straight here. So that's good. We like that disagreement for the show. We like the contrarian thoughts. Two more games. Hang with us. We're going over an hour here, folks. It's a Wednesday night. I'm exhausted. Yeah. But hell, it's two Jersey guys talking about NFL football and gambling, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
You can't beat that. All right. Lions at the Eagles. I want to take the Eagles here, Ryan. They're minus 2.5. They're at home. Total's 46.5. If there's any guy who I would just guess that Ryan and I just like naturally gravitate to, like, give me some Dan Campbell every fucking day. I love Dan Campbell so much. I just love his dude. He's a big dude. He's so believable. It turns out to be like, he's not just a big dude. He's pretty smart. You know, he was calling good plays last week. I love him. I love what he does for that city. I got family in Detroit. I would love it if the Lions won this game. I would love to even tease the Lions. I can't do it. I think the Eagles go back home in Philly. That defense is not only healthy, but now they have depth. All of a sudden, because of, you know, Howie Roseman, now they have depth, bringing guys back from the dead. And I think they're going to play really well. I think they're going to get into Jared Goff's head, and that's the problem, right? If you get into Jared, if you shake up Jared Goff, he's a different quarterback. I don't think the Lions are going to get to Jalen Hurts as much. And the Lions injuries in their secondary are going to really bother them in this game. I love Detroit. I want Detroit in the Super Bowl. I got to go with the Eagles in this one, man.
Yeah, I like it. In Dan Campbell's first year with Detroit, first I'll say this. I watch football with a Bears fan. No one loves the Bears more than my buddy Nick. Nick was very upset when the Lions signed Dan Campbell. Very upset because he knew that this guy was going to build like a real program. And Nick's like a linebacker coach. Like he knows his business. I fell in love with him in the first year they played, where they were terrible, and they played the Rams, and the Rams were like a Super Bowl contender, and they took the Rams to the limit. They were going, I'm not really a big go at Ford on fourth down guy, but like when you're a team like that, like you got to create margin, and they just played so aggressive and they haven't stopped. So I'm with you on all that. I also think this is not a very good spot for Detroit because their offensive line's real banged up. And like you said, like if you start hitting Jared Goff, Goff's a different guy. So I'm with you on Philly here too. I just like you, I hope Detroit wins the game.
Yeah. Well, then it's a win-win in some regard, right? Yeah. Is it Taylor Decker who's out? I don't have that.
They're all questionable. Decker's questionable. The center Glasgow's questionable, and Penny Sewell's questionable. So they're all banged up.
That's not good. Not good. Not good against the big boy in the middle, Jalen.
Yeah.
Not good. All right. I do, for the record. Unfortunately, I think the Eagles are going to be back in the Super Bowl. I don't want them to be, but I do think it's going to happen. And you know, I've been resisting that narrative for a long time, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's. I'm gonna go Rams, but I think it's gonna be Rams Eagles the NFC Championship.
And then that's a situation I would love. And it's gonna be very hard not to be biased in that situation. Okay, last but not least, Cowboys at the Raiders. I believe I tweeted on Sunday night or Monday morning that the Cowboys will be my biggest play of the week. I took them at -3. This is where I think I tend to have an edge, and it's really only one game that comes up. But I can't believe I listen to some shows and they don't even mention, and it sounds distasteful to mention it, but the player that they lost, the guy that committed suicide, which is absolutely terrible for the organization, terrible, terrible thing. That being said, you do have to consider it in your handicap because it is a thing that happened and it is going to affect this team. Dak Prescott has a brother who committed suicide. Dak Prescott cares very much about mental health. There is a scenario, I think, where that affects Dak Prescott in a negative way. In this instance, the Dak Prescott I've seen this season with George Pickens, with CeeDee Lamb, I think the Cowboys light up the Raiders. They're coming off the bye. They're coming off a bad offensive performance where they got near the red zone about 12 times and couldn't convert, turnovers and everything else. To me, a Raiders organization that I cannot – I mean, Pete Carroll was like singing his team's praises after that Thursday night football game. And I was like, bro, you are not in reality with us anymore. I think this is a confluence of factors that are going to mean like a 35-37 to 20 Cowboys win. Give me the Cowboys all day in this one, Ryan. I dare you to go against
me. No, I'm glad you said this because like pure football wise, it's like Dallas, they're coming off a bye.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of the component with the kid. I didn't even think of that. Dallas should destroy them. Dallas, I had 38 in my head. Like guy who's been betting on football my whole life, like, Raiders lose by 3 is what, that guy says. I'll still take Dallas too, just because like I do think Dak Prescott's gonna put up 5 touchdowns essentially. I think this offense is gonna score on Vegas pretty much nonstop. And it's just, I have very little confidence in Geno Smith, the Raiders organization. They're in a spot where like they got to think about firing Pete Carroll at the end of the year.
I know
is where they're at. So
yeah, and their defense, by the way, not playing that poorly. I mean they're league average. They're around there. It's the offense and catching up with the Cowboys. I don't know in this one, but I Ryan might just be being a good friend in that, because I really went hard with that one. I was like, I have an edge here, Ryan. I'm gonna talk about that, but
no. No,
I would be shocked. I would be shocked, truly, if the Cowboys didn't run away with that.
No, like how I initially think of all this stuff is like I go pure football first, and like that's what I want to get to an outcome with. And like in that sense, it's, how does Dallas lose this game?
Right.
Like it's going to take like a disaster. I'd be stunned if Dak Prescott doesn't come out. Again, like a well-oiled machine, a bit like Kansas City this week. So, no, I'm with you on that.
And we don't. It's not like we like the Cowboys. Come on.
Although
what we like about Ryan, look at him. He's in the black hoodie as always. There's no paraphernalia behind him. just raw, man, which I love. He's got his Aquafina or whatever. That is
Fiji. It's fancy.
Fiji. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me.
I still got. Next time we do this, I'll dabble in some stuff with you, but. I still got work tonight, so I got to do water.
Well, I look back at previous gigs that we might have had together, and in those, as part of those gigs, you and I were like, maybe we should say the fuck a lot on the show. Yeah. Maybe we should throw back some beers. And now I'm thinking, what the hell was I thinking? Like that's not like I'm barely considering doing that now. Like,
Right. Well, authenticity, the truth is, dude, I don't really drink that much in my old age. When I was 20 years old, like you couldn't have stopped me from drinking on
it. Yep. Well, now it affects us a little differently. I tell people all the time, and this is not so much a story as it is a, humble brag, I guess. Not even a humble brag, just a brag. But I mean, Ryan, I used to, when I first moved to DC, I used to go out in my like Michael Jackson moccasins. When I first moved to DC, I didn't know anybody. I would just go downtown, drink all night. You're like making out with like a foreign diplomat, And then I'm running uphill into, you know, Bethesda, Rockville area. I mean, and if anyone knows, that is uphill. And I'm running home. And then I'm waking up the next day and I feel great, Ryan. Today, these days, breaking news, just turned 40. That doesn't happen. No. I don't. Yeah. I do not feel good. Next day. Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm right there with you, buddy. Yeah, Ryan, always a pleasure, my man. I knew we would go a little long. You know, an hour and 15 is great. I mean, that's a show for you.
Yeah, man. It's fun, man. So,
plenty of shit talking, plenty of information. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'm going to do my best to have Ryan Reynolds back on the show. Check him out at Establish the Run, at Ryan Reynolds on X. There's a lot going on in the world, folks. Enjoy your Sunday. Good luck this weekend with your bets. See you next time.